In this episode of Movie Rollers, we are going to talk about our trip to South by Southwest 2013. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So I'm really excited. Rashmi and I were able to cover South by Southwest this year. Yazdi, you can make this one. You'll be covering a couple of other ones, hopefully, for us later in the year.
Yes. I wish, though. You know, when we talked about it, we decided we'll divide and conquer. We'll try to cover as many film festivals as possible. But then seeing all your posts and everything you were putting, you know, I was like, I wish I was there.
So and we missed you.
We did miss you. Yeah, Movie Wallace is a trio. We are like the Three Musketeers, so it's never much fun. But, well, I won't say it's not fun when you're not there, but it would be more fun if you had been.
Correct. That's a nice way to put it.
Yes. Oh. So tell us.
So, yeah, we had a blast. I mean, for those of you that don't know, South by Southwest has got a kind of a strange history. I think it started out as a music festival, and it still is one of the big music festivals. But over time, it's morphed into this interesting mix of really three basic concepts. Music is obviously still a big part of it, but they also do South by Southwest Interactive, which for years and years has been kind of, you know, really from early days of the web, it's been kind of this festival of people who get together. It's geeks and nerds and people who work in IT and startup tech companies who really come together to try and see if they can synthesize ideas. And over time, you know, big things have been announced there. I mean, Twitter 6 years ago, I think, was at South by Southwest. That was their big launch. 4 years ago, the Foursquare app that, again, it's got like 30 million users right now. South by Southwest broke that. And, you know, right now, you've got this big interactive side of things. And then you also have this film festival, which this year was interestingly, well, we learned interestingly that it was the 20th year of the South by Southwest Film Festival. They do tend to focus on, I don't know what they focus on. I mean, there's a lot of movies that are based in Austin, so there is kind of a local theme that's going on. But, you know, one person put it really well. It was the guy from who started IndieWire. We went to a session at the very beginning of South by Southwest where they told us about what you know, how to get the most out of South by, especially the film aspect. And he said, South by Southwest is really the kind of launch pad for anything that's kind of cool, you know? It's not a very high art film festival. They're not striving to be, you know, a very hardcore, you know, high art Oscar-type movie. You know, they're also not like doing the big blockbuster thing everywhere. I mean, there are some big movies which open here, but it's gotten this reputation for movies that are kind of cool, the kind of movies that we'll be looking at over this year as, you know, the hip movies and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit. You know, we started off, we figured that, you know, given Joe and I had never really been to a huge film festival, we thought we'd go to this Insiders look-see, and there was a great panel. We had people from Fandango, Deadline Hollywood, Movies.com, the Film Society of the Lincoln Center, and that was actually Eugene Salisbury, I think, Joe, is the guy that Joe's talking about. He's actually the founder of IndieWire, and then someone from IndieWire themselves. And basically what they were saying was, you know, it's become, like Joe said, a launching pad for anything that becomes cool. And each one of these panel members then gave their tips of some of the movies that they'd seen that they would recommend. And I think one of the great recommendations I came away with on that day was, initially, you know, before you go to the film festivals, and yes, you've always told us this when you go to Toronto, you can spend days and hours pondering over the huge amounts of material and the film names and figuring out which movies you're going to go to. And one of the nice things about film festivals is that you get to not only watch the film, but then there's always a Q&A with the panel, which is, you know, the directors and the producers or the cast members. And I think, you know, we were pretty excited to try and watch some of the big films like Burt Wonderstone or Spring Breakers, Evil Dead, some of the ones that were having their world premieres. And actually, one of the tips that this panel gave us was, you're going to get to see those anyway, because they've already got release dates. They've already secured distribution. Try and see the small films that you probably won't get a chance to see, maybe even for a year. And I know, Yazdi, this has always been your feedback when you came back from Toronto. For example, I know the one that you were talking about some time ago, the Viggo Mortensen one, the Argentinian film.
Everybody has a plan.
Yeah, that's just being released in a few weeks' time. And you saw that about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was one of the great tips I came away with. And as a result, I think we got a good mix of some big ones, but Joe and I definitely spent most of our time trying to seek out some of these smaller movies that we thought sound really interesting or had an interesting concept that we knew may not ever get distribution.
Yeah, it's interesting because you always fight the urge to, you want to go for that screening of the Brad Pitt movie, or you want to go to the screening of that Meryl Streep movie because you know the director will be there. Maybe the stars will show up. So for the film kind of fun, red carpety kind of stuff, you want to go for those movies, but it's almost a waste of you having flown all the way there because you know that movie is going to be released in a few weeks or a few months and you'll get to see it in the cinema. So I think the right thing is to try to find that balance where you try to see the smaller films, which unlikely will not get a distribution, but then have enough of a sprinkling of the other ones to make it a more well-rounded experience. And it's hard to find that balance, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but I think we went towards the commercial side. I mean, I think everything that we're going to talk about today will see the light of day. I think if they've not already secured distribution rights, they probably will, just based on the response they had at the festival and the buzz around the movie themselves. So, you know, perhaps we didn't follow the advice as good as we could, but we, you know, it's our first South By.
It's hard.
Just a couple of shout outs as well. Just, we were not alone from San Diego. We had two other, colleagues from the local press circuit down here. Lance Carter from www.dailyactor.com was there. Lance is kind of a veteran of South by Southwest. He gave us a lot of tips. Thank you, Lance, so much. It was awesome to be there with you. He showed us around. He, you know, kind of told us where all the cool parties were going to be. So, thanks, Lance.
Lance made this. I'm sure we wouldn't have had as good a time if he hadn't given us his insider tips and been so collegiate and showing us the ropes. So, yeah.
And also Alison Gang of the Union Tribune, as well as her own blog. So we'll make sure we put a couple of links to Alison's articles on South by Southwest in perhaps the show notes when I post the podcast. But Alison, really great fun hanging out with you guys, you know, showed us around Austin. She had a friend in Austin. She knew the place well. So, yeah, really, really good fun hanging out with those guys. So, yeah, which movies do you want to talk about?
Well, why don't you give a rundown of all the films we watched, and then maybe, Joe, you and I can pick maybe our top two that we want to talk about.
Sure. Yeah. We started out at the film festival with a small movie called We Cause Scenes. This movie is essentially about the improvisation/prank group Improv Everywhere, and that was a good fun. The audience, they had an audience with the director and Improv Everywhere people there as well. We then moved on to the remake of The Evil Dead, which I think is going to get a full review, get the full movie Wallace treatment at some point when it comes out. We were lucky enough to catch a screening of Don John, the movie formerly known as Don John's Addiction. That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's directorial debut.
They've dropped the addiction from the title?
They have. They did that.
They did that
like the day before South by Southwest. And we actually had a chance to interview Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and you know they really did that because I think in the Twitterverse, you know, the shorter title I think is easier to market. People remember shorter names. I think there were lots of marketing reasons to do that, but yeah, I agree. I think it doesn't give the movie as much. Context when thinking about.
Yeah,
the movie.
Don John doesn't mean anything. Oh. Bad call.
I know. We got to see Danny Boyle, director Danny Boyle. He had a big audience there, and he was supposed to actually, the plan was for him to show his new movie, Trance, at South by Southwest, but because of licensing, the movie was produced by two studios. Pathé is the one that led the effort in Europe, and Pathé managed to secure the world premiere rights. So we did still get to see a fairly lengthy clip.
About 7 minutes of the movie.
A really, you know, a pivotal moment of it, which I'm desperately trying to erase from my brain because I think it was a big spoiler. In fact, I know it was a huge spoiler because they said as much during the presentation. Next on the list was Much Ado About Nothing, which was director Joss Whedon's Shakespearean effort.
Yeah, I've actually done a in-depth review on the website, so you can actually catch a full review of that before it will get the, I'm sure it will get the Movie Wallace treatment at some stage, but I've done an initial review of the movie.
And the entire cast was there. Sorry, Esty?
Just when you think that, you know, Joss Whedon cannot possibly improve his coolness quotient, he does a black and white adaptation of, you know, Much Ado About Nothing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Interesting in that it's an interesting choice for him, but I think he really did it to wind down. He had come off of having done a couple of big, high pressure, high budget, you know, big.
The Avengers, does it get bigger?
Yeah. So, you know, I think there was an awful lot of pressure on him as a creator to, you know, to bring in the business side of those movies, to bring in the commercial success. This movie was shot in his home. It was done with actors that he likes to work with, and it had a very laid-back improvisational style. So even though it was Shakespearean language, so it was great seeing him there and explaining why on earth he did a movie like this. We saw a very small movie called Tiny, and pun absolutely intended, but it was about people who believe that one can live in 100 or 200 square feet and that we don't need to take up anything like the kind of resources that we are currently taking up in our Western style lives.
Review also available on moviewallahs.com.
Yeah, Rashmi's been writing like crazy here. I'm
Is this a satire or is this
no.
a document?
Yes, it's about a man who's basically turning 30 and decides that he wants to explore life in a small house. And there's a whole community of these people and various blogs. And what I took away from it was it's almost like living off the grid. And it's about six people that have basically decided to live their life this way. And they're all very different. And this guy, you actually see him not only going through the process of building his own house, you know, on literally less than 200 square feet on wheels, but also what it means. What does home mean? What does being home mean? So it was a very interesting movie. I thought I really enjoyed it. I've done a write up, like I said, on the website. So I'm not sure if that will get a full release, but I hope it will. I'm sure it'll be available on a website somewhere to watch.
It's the kind of thing I see. It wasn't really a full-length movie. I think it was like an hour and 15. So it's the kind of thing that I think will pop up on Netflix fairly quickly. It's a very small movie, made with a lot of heart and care. And, you know, it's a small project by, and again, I say pun intended, Tiny really describes this movie in so many ways, not just the subject matter, but the whole production, I think, was small. Mm. Drinking Buddies, I think, was next up on my list. So Drinking Buddies is something that we'll probably cover on a future Movie Wallahs episode, but it stars Olivia Wilde,
Anna Kendrick.
Oh, this is the Joe Swanberg movie, right?
Thank you, director Joe Swanberg.
So I think this was the blowaway for you, wasn't it? This is probably, if you had to say what was your favorite film of the festival, this one film, I think, Joe, this one really was your favorite. And again, you know, I'm sure this is going to get a full release, so we'll save our full reviews for the full podcast when you get the three-way. But I think you can tell people that you really enjoyed this movie.
Yep, and I think this is a highlight of the festival for me.
I mean, Joe Swanberg is he's quite the figure in independent cinema. I mean, he started this whole mumblecore movement. You know, he's the one who introduced Greta Gerwig to cinema. I mean, his first three movies were made with Greta Gerwig, and he makes these movies which seem to be improvised. People just talk, and they're about relationships and very small and so forth. Yeah.
Another one. And again, maybe it was the fact that I was caught so unawares by this one because it was billed as a comedy, but it was so much more than that. And I think again, performance-wise, the restraint within the script, you know, performances by Jake Johnson, Olivia Wilde, Anna Kendrick, all of which were very natural, depicting very real 20, 30-something life, you know, life decisions, life choices, in a very not heavy-handed way. I think it was just delightfully done. So big one there. Next movie up was another huge treat. There was one day, by the way, that we watched, I think, 7 movies back-to-back-to-back. I mean, it was...
Wow, that breaks the...
Five.
Is it five?
Yeah, we watched 5 in
okay,
one day.
Okay, so we were like pigs in poop. I mean, but it was exhausting and delightful.
And hungering. We didn't have time to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we literally didn't. We had like granola bars and things that were left in bags from time, you know, from former trips that we ended up having to survive on, which was crazy. Given that we were in Austin, like, you know, minutes away from like some of the best barbecue in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like 10, 15 years ago reading, you know, the likes of Roger Ebert and, you know, Pauline Kael talking about their, you know, their film festival experiences, reading about in the newspaper. And they always talk about how there is never any food, never any time for food. So, you know, yeah, the hardcore people, I mean, they carry like, you know, cookies and, you know, little dents like, you know, brownies and stuff, yeah. Something to subsist you in between movies. So.
And you know what's really annoying is that there's free food everywhere because there are, you know, lots of parties going on, lots vendors, of promotional things, vendors giving stuff away. You know, there is free food everywhere at South by Southwest.
But no, these movie wallers were determined.
I mean, seriously, I think we managed to score like a couple of free beers and
some grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, a couple of like, you know, free grilled cheese sandwiches for downloading an app onto our phone. But, you know, South by Southwest has food everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we weren't hungry at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Next movie was a big treat for me as well, Before Midnight. That's director Richard Linklater's latest movie with actors
Ethan Hawke and Julia Delpy. Delpy. What? And I'm sure, again, that's going to get a full movie wallers.
I mean, I'm somewhat ashamed in that, given the critical acclaim that the first two movies in the series, so this is the third movie in a trilogy, they're all approximately 9 years apart, and given everything that everyone has said about the first two movies, everyone seems to know them but me, but I walked into this blind, yeah, and wow, what a treat. This movie, I think, was punctuated in a couple of ways, but... One was just the extraordinarily long takes that this director seems to use. The opening take is a scene of a car journey, and it is literally an unbroken 13 minutes. What a feat of acting this is, because this is not improvised dialogue. This is scripted, learned the hard way dialogue delivered by these actors in a very natural setting. Wow.
I'm a big fan of the Before Sunrise, Before Sunset movies. And I think the reason why, I mean, there's really nothing much cinematic about at least those two movies. It's all about the character and those two individuals. And I mean, anytime anybody wants a good example of chemistry, I think I always go back to, you know, Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy and you know, Before Sunrise or Before Sunset. So I can't wait to watch Before Midnight.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of keen for us to do the review, Yazdi, and hopefully, Joe, you and I should catch up and put those other two on our Netflix.
Oh, absolutely. If they're not on Netflix, I'll check Amazon. If they're not on Amazon, I will check iTunes. And if they're not on iTunes, I'm going to buy the damn DVDs, because just from the sheer caliber of this movie and what everyone else has told me about the series, I know it's going to be money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then to the highlight for me, one of my favorite films was, surprisingly, a film called Downloaded. It was a documentary that was directed by Alex Winter of Bill and Ted, Bill S. Preston fame. And it was really the story of Napster and how Napster really brought down the music industry. And how thrilling. I mean, this just blew my mind and I was smiling all the way through it. And we got to meet Sean Parker and Sean Fanning, and I was just in awe. I watched this movie and I took away from it, I think, you know, the world painted a very anarchy type story of these guys. And I think what I took away from it was this very human element of someone who came from a broken home, who loved music, who was very geeky and found solace in other people who wanted to share music and just be geeks. And what a human story about something that changed our world.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
beautifully done. Amazing documentary.
I mean, I think it was, you know, well, again, hopefully this movie will get a full release. It certainly will be on VH1, you know, on repeat, I think, as soon as they can get the TV rights sorted out. But I think it was a little one-sided in that we didn't really get to hear from people, you know, the counterpoint, which I think a good balanced documentary has. But nonetheless, it was an absolutely thrilling piece of film work. I mean, it really explains it's a generational thing for us. Napster, we were right there when it hit. I think, you know, Rashmi and I were just getting broadband, the whole internet thing, the idea of using MP3s on your computer. And then suddenly, you know, came this service, which, you know, to this day, I maintain that I bought more music as a result of Napster than I did by benefiting up. Yeah, and to this, really, up until recently, I had a subscription to the paid Napster service, which is like a music streaming. It was like $10 a month. And I realized I hadn't had a listen to it in a couple of months. So I switched off the service. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm not buying music. It's kind of crazy because the idea of these new business models is that by experiencing music, you can learn about artists. You might take a chance on listening to a CD that you hadn't heard before. And I've discovered a lot of music that way. So, you know, there's just a whole narrative there that we can have about music industry in general. But really cool to see Sean Parker and Sean Fanning there live in person, you know, South by Southwest. And this movie in particular is a great one for a South by Southwest audience. You know, it's there with all of the, you know, the IT crowd, the nerds, the younger people who love the music. You know, I would be interested to see what the record executives themselves attending the industry thought of the whole movie, but really good stuff. Next up on our list was a preview of Spring Breakers. That's the latest movie by controversial director Harmony Corvine. And again, he had the cast, the lead cast members there. The preview of the movie that I saw there has me absolutely fascinated. I'm not familiar with his earlier work. I hear that it's controversial. Some say unwatchable.
And I think he's been described as an eclectic filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, I can vouch for the unwatchable part. I've seen some of his movies which have just morally offended me. Like, I was like, I cannot watch this. This is wrong. And, you know, I'm pretty thick-skinned when it comes to movies. But, like, he made a movie called Gummo. I think he was one of the script writers for the movie Kids.
Trash Humpers, I think, is one of his.
Yeah. But
yeah, so I'm interested. I mean, what was, I think, most fascinating to me listening to him talk about his filmmaking process was he was being interviewed by one of the main people from IndieWire.com, and he's being asked all of these, you know, wonderful, insightful questions about his filmmaking process, and I loved how refreshing his responses were, because, you know, a lot of times we will look at a director's work and think, you know, there was an awful lot of planning that went into creating a particular scene, and everything was meticulously scripted from, you know, the way the camera moved, from, you know, the performances that, and he has a very much more organic filmmaking process. He basically said, look, you know, we try and create a feeling. We get, you know, we might get the actors together ahead a few days ahead of time. You know, we might put them in a hotel room. Like, I think with this movie, he did try and get the actors into that kind of spring break mentality by taking them to these locations and getting them to engage with people who are having parties. And then, you know, he puts a camera in front of them with an idea of what he wants to film, and he sees what happens. And I think there's a really organic nature to the way that he built his movies here, which, you know, some might call it BS, others might call it genius. It's just a different way of making films. But loved hearing him speak, and I loved him, but, you know, rebutting any of these kind of questions that were trying to overly analyze his filmmaking process. He says, you know, he basically said, look, you know, I get a camera, and I get a script and we just do it and we see what comes out. And usually, you know, we can put something together at the end that makes sense. I love that kind of, you know, maverick guerrilla style of filmmaking.
Well, let's wait till you both.
But
see
I haven't seen any of his work, so yeah, I might be convinced otherwise.
And I have seen Spring Breakers, so I'm keeping very tight-lipped until you both see it. So I'm giving nothing away this time.
I like this do-it-yourself filmmaking, and I don't think Harmony Korine belongs in that group, but certainly, you know, Joel Swanberg and Lynn Shelton, who made Your Sister's Sister. There are these little, you know, little filmmakers who are getting pretty good talent to work in their movies, and they're making these little quiet gems. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Drinking Buddies fits into that. Yeah. Definitely. And final one for us, so film number 9 in 2.5 days, I think it was, of film viewing, A Teacher, which is basically a film about a teacher who has an affair with one of her students.
Yay!
And obviously all of the implications about that. Interesting movie. Not one that I particularly loved. I would say probably the one I least liked out of all of the ones that we saw. But it's interesting because it's different to how you expect a normal one of these films to go. And it's much more around the emotion as opposed to the consequences, I would say.
Yeah, I'm amiss in that I can't remember the director's name, but I know it's a female director. And this movie is very much done from the female perspective. I mean, I think one of the things that struck me about this movie was just how it really took the emotional, like you say, Rashmi, it was a very... Hannah Fidel is the movie, the director here. And I think it's a first-time directorial effort here. And it does show in places. I think there are times, there are some problems with the movie, certainly on the story side and also on the directorial side. But she did a very interesting take on, like you say, on this whole idea that a teacher might have an affair with a student. It's never really clear to me whether or not he's underage. That it does seem to imply that in a very strong way. It feels like a very high school setting. So, but you know, nonetheless, an interesting take on the whole idea of that. Again, that's and a smaller so movie. I'm not sure it'll get a release. Sorry, yeah. Esty.
No, I was just, so obviously this is a narrative. It's not a documentary.
Correct.
So yeah, that was our South By. I mean, it was, 3 or 4 days of a lot of fun, a lot of walking around, a lot of getting rained on. My biggest criticism of South by Southwest is the transportation. It absolutely sucks. The city of Austin is easily overwhelmed by this festival. I think film attendance is around 12,000. I think the interactive side is over 40,000. And then music hits the town and it just goes nuts. So the city just doesn't have the infrastructure to support a festival of this size, but it's undeniably cool to hold it in Austin.
I suspect what's happening with South by Southwest in the last few years is what has been happening to Comic-Con in San Diego, in that it's gotten so big that literally logistically now it's an impossibility to even hold that many people and that much content, and it's sort of bursting at the seams. And it seems like, you know, based on what you said earlier, South by Southwest started as a place where the cool, fringe, edgy stuff was being shown. And now it's slowly becoming, maybe against their wishes, a little bit more mainstream. And they're seeing a lot more content coming. And so,
yeah. I think the studios get very savvy about where to break their movies, where they might receive the right kind of audience and press. You know, Evil Dead was a great example of a movie that was ideally suited to the younger demographic, the more fun perhaps demographic that
the diehards
and diehard fans. Yeah. There's a lot of geeks and nerds at this festival. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. You know, these are people who, you know, sit behind computers all day, but they're into this, they're into movies in a huge way, and they're into a specific kind of movie. So, you know, to watch The Evil Dead with a group of people who are really quite hardcore fans of the movie and the original material.
1,298 others.
In a cinema that holds 1,300 people was just an experience to behold. I mean, it was really wonderful, wonderful experience.
I mean, you can feel the energy, can't you? I mean, you can, it's palpable. Just the,
yeah,
the electricity in the air. Yeah.
And we were all going to love this movie, whether it sucked or not. You know, yeah. It was terrific that it didn't suck.
No pun intended.
Well, sucked blood. But no, we were, it's it just, it's like being at a rock concert.
I think the most incredible thing I think I took away was, here's a venue, and I think if anyone who's a movie fan can get to a film festival, even for a day, if there's one in your city, go and support it, because it's for movie fans, by movie fans, with movie fans helping. And people are silent through all the films. People are there to watch the movies. These are diehard fans of movie who are seeking out nuggets. I know, Yazzie, that's always one of your things. You love finding little movies that maybe no one else will ever get to see, but it's an incredible experience.
I mean, even in our own city, you know, the San Diego Latino Film Festival just wrapped up. The San Diego Italian Film Festival is going on right now. There's going to be a Frequency film. I mean, most cities, if you look for it, there are these little film festivals going on. And people think it's for geeks and nerds. And people think, you know, film festivals are stodgy and it's about, you know, expressionist movies in black and white where people talk in German. You know, I don't know what people have this weird concept in their brains about film festivals.
And Nasty, to be fair, there are some of those, but I would say in today's day and age, with so many independent filmmakers trying to find an outlet to show their material, that's where it's being done.
Yeah, and I would just say my success rate in any film festival is, I'd say, easily 75-80%. I mean, 4 out of 5 times you'll watch something wonderful. And for me, I mean, that's a far better batting average than just randomly going and watching something playing at your multiplex, you know, yeah, in terms of what's released. So yeah. I fully agree. I think people need to, you know, the film festival experience is not for a core group of people. It's not for, you know, a certain group of people only. I think if you love films, you owe yourself this film festival experience, no matter where it is.
Yeah.
And there's enough of us out there. I mean, you know, we do the podcast, you know, in large part because we love film. But I think anyone who has more than a passing interest in film, you know, there are lots of people out there that go to the movie theater once a week. You know, you qualify. You know, you don't have to be an obsessive movie nerd. You don't have to know about every director and every actor. If you enjoy going to the movie theaters regularly, then a film festival is a terrific thing for you to attend. I mean, I can't say that strongly enough.
Yeah,
you know, do check them out. Because
maybe we'll start Movie Wallah's tours.
There's an idea.
Oh, for film festivals.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the all-in-one package.
Yes.
The luxury suite.
Yes.
Four and, seasons.
And get a review instantly from your favorite movie wallah.
Yeah, we could make maybe $10 from that.
No, we'll make $5 from that.
So final story before we wrap up is Joe and I. Joe, you segued very nicely into it. Transport was sucky. So final day, we're trying to get back to the airport. Transport is a problem. Our hotel was 4 miles away from the venue. We decided to bring our luggage into the convention center. We decided, hey, let's go and drop our luggage off at the concierge at the Four Seasons, and then we'll go and pick it up from there later.
The thinking was, if there's anywhere in town that one might be able to get a taxi, it would be at the Four Seasons. If you could feign being a guest at the Four Seasons, there has to be somebody in concierge that can get you a cab.
That was our thinking. So we successfully managed to get our luggage put away at the concierge. And Joe just fell over in his chair onto the sofa.
Sorry, I had the habit of leaning backwards and lost my balance. I'm really glad we don't do video yet.
Yeah.
I think we should do video, but carry on.
Because Yazdi nearly choked on his chip.
I did.
Which he's been cunningly, like, putting into his mouth and sucking on them so he doesn't make a crunchy noise.
I know. Anyway,
get our luggage, and there are no cabs. So basically, you have to put your name on a list, and you have to say, are you willing to share a cab to the airport? So we both put yes. And who do we end up in the cab with?
Angelina Jolie.
No, thank God. one of the producers from Spring Breakers, one of the executive producers, and one of the lawyers. So it was a rather interesting cab ride. Joe had to unfortunately sit in the front, and I got to sit in the back. And we were texting each other from the front to the back because there were some very interesting conversations going on about how many millions of dollars it would take to secure movie rights to other movies and what programs were. And it was very interesting.
So you didn't get a chance to actually speak with them?
Well, they didn't want to speak to me, I think, was more than anything. I was invisible.
For me, it was just a really funny experience because they were so Hollywood. You know, the kind of characters, the producer types that you might see, you know, walking across the scene in an episode of Entourage.
Yeah, yeah. He was basically trying to impress the lawyer who was a young girl, and telling her about, you know, how he travels and how, you know, he had to do an overnight stop, but he managed to get into the spa and, you know, felt refreshed and you know, anyway, interesting experience.
It was. So, yeah.
Matthew McConaughey. We forgot to even mention Matthew McConaughey.
Wow, yeah. He was there talking about his new movie, Mud, which looks terrific. We missed the screening of that one. But McConaughey was there, very charming, very, very interesting to see McConaughey making this almost U-turn with his acting. I mean, and how deliberate that was, because he spoke about, you know, he was the romantic lead for many years in all of these movies, and he's now adopted this approach where if the script or the director or something about the particular film does not frighten him, then he's really not interested in the project. He's really taking steps to do things that are way out of his comfort zone, and he's finding that that's helping him as an actor to improve. But I think, you know, people are responding to that.
Well, we
know.
Come on, look, I've done a 180 on Matthew McConaughey in the last, you know, 15 months.
Yeah,
I mean, Lincoln Lawyer was an absolute turning point, and after that, when we said it during the Oscar shows, he was robbed. But, you know, Lincoln Lawyer, Magic Mike, Killer Joe, my favorite, Bernie. Paperboy, I mean, incredible performances, are so diverse.
And I think he's at the point where he's made enough money to now do projects that excite him. You know, he doesn't need the big paycheck anymore. I mean, how many millions can one make? At this point, he's really trying to artistically stretch himself.
Oh, to have that life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that movie, Mud, because it's made by the same director as he was the guy who directed Take Shelter last year with Jessica Chastain and Michael Shannon, which I really, really enjoyed. It's a very weird movie, but, you know, Jeff Nichols, that's the name of the director, and this is his new movie. And so, and it's got McConaughey, and I bet it's going to be, even if it's not fully successful, I think it'll be very interesting. So,
cool.
Yeah, I love certain actors have done this complete U-turn. I mean, Matthew McConaughey is one of them. The New York Times today has an article about how, you know, Ben Affleck made this big turnaround.
That's right, yeah.
He was a punchline in jokes for late night talk show hosts, and how he's come around. So I like that. Yeah. I think Hollywood likes, you know, Robert Downey Jr. did the same thing. I think everybody likes, you know, a story of redemption where somebody comes back and, you know, makes it again.
Yeah. So.
But how exciting. I mean, based on what I'm hearing from you, I bet you guys are thrilled to go again next year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think,
like, dragging your butt along too.
Yeah.
For me, it's certainly going to be an annual occurrence, I think. It was just such a fun film festival. One of my favorite things about South by Southwest is Wi-Fi everywhere. Like, they bathe the entire conference center in free high-speed internet connection. And it's not like some crappy, 2 megabits per second connection. This is like fat, you know, broadband pipes. When you imagine the load by all these geeks with laptops with cell phones, that was just, you know, just a really cool thing to do there. The exhibit hall full of like all of this new technology that's coming out, you know, app stuff, and just a really cool, you know, I'm a nerd, you know, Techwala, that's you know, net by name and also by nature. So South by is a really good festival, really good fit for me. I mean, I kind of wish that we could stay longer and check out some of the music stuff, but well, maybe next year.
I would personally want to check out more of the tech stuff, you know, the movies and then some of the tech stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the tech side is huge.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap up the podcast. Too many movies, too little time. Never has that been more true than at a film festival. So I guess until our next episode, we will
bathe in movies.
Indeed. Too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.